It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No, that's right. We're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues. Me, Jet Lacy, but we are concerned about what they're trying to literally shove down our throats. And we're talking with Cassandra Anderson of MorphCity.com, who wrote an article, four parts, called Food and Depopulation. I tell you, it knocked the socks off me. Like I said, we were talking about it earlier in the week, and I didn't know she was a friend of Drew Phillips, and Drew Phillips got me the hookup with a great guest. So welcome back to the show, Cassandra.
Thank you.
And I'm so thankful that you are willing to come on the show with me, and I know you're really busy. You work for G. Edward Griffin, who is, I mean, man, what a legend as far as he brought the Federal Reserve to the forefront of the minds in the freedom movement. And, you know, and looks like you're doing very similar work with this eugenics. And, you know, I really appreciate you coming on the show. So let's continue talking about it. Where do you want to take this journey next?
Well, just one quick thing about G. Edward Griffin. I don't know if you're aware, but he also wrote World Without Cancer. That's amazing. And it's a book, and there's videos that you can watch for free online, The Science and Politics of Cancer. It'll blow your mind.
I didn't know that. You know, I tell you what, like I said, I'm just a regular guy, and I'm taking notes during every show, so to go look at this stuff for myself. So I'm going to definitely do that.
I'll email you the videos, but man, is it something else. And it just keeps going back to, you know, these monopolies were created by the robber barons, pretty much. I mean, they had existed before, but like really, you know, refined down to a scientific level by the robber barons. And guess who was behind the lockdown of Western medicine?
I don't
Rockefeller.
Know. There's a shocker, yeah. It always goes back to the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with banking, yeah. Oil, all of it. And, you know, now food, because even though Monsanto's sort of the front man for it. My first article, I go through in detail how the Rockefellers have been funding food control for many, many decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read it all. It's just, I like the first one because it really, and I'll tell you what else I really like about your article, that is that, and these are the types of articles I will, you know, talk about more on this show, that you cite your sources. And I think that is so huge because so many people don't.
Well, that comes from working with or for G. Edward.
Well, I mean, it's still smart. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, no, it's really important because, you know, it's like people wanting to know. And if you want to know more on you know, that statement, you just go to the footnote. So it just makes it easier all the way around.
Well, it's also proof. It's also like a way of saying, don't believe what I say. You know, I'm just writing this down, but this is where I got it from, so look into it further for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I would like to, because it's such a bummer topic,
sure.
I would like to talk about part four, which the very last part is a solution.
Well, when we come back, this is just a short segment. We got a nice long one coming up. We got 12 minutes coming up, Cassandra, so when we come back, on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues. Me, Jet Lacy, we're going to keep talking about, what do we do? What are the solutions? We're going to talk about those with Cassandra Anderson of MorphCity.com when we come back in just a minute. Love to hear from you, 800-313-9443. Be right back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Well, this isn't Ernest Hancock, but this is Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Jet Lacy, and this is also The Revolution Continues with Jet Lacy that breaks it all down every Friday here on RBN. And we have, I don't know if you can probably tell in my voice, people, but I have a great guest on. I'm excited about this. I can't believe the first hour and 10 minutes have gone by so fast. I have Cassandra Anderson of MorphCity.com and the author of Food and Depopulation. So we were going to talk about the fourth part, which actually deals with some solutions. And I really like that you wanted to go in that direction, because, you know, we talk about the problems all the time, and, you know, a lot of people don't talk about the solutions. So please go ahead.
Yeah, well, of course, education is the most important thing, and particularly the farmers have got to know about these Monsanto licensing agreements that lock them in, even if they don't plant GMO-patented crops the next season. They get locked in because what's called volunteers, you know, seeds that are left from the prior season will come up and cross-pollinate with their, you know, with the new plants that are being planted. So it's just that the licensing agreement that Monsanto has is, you know, once you enter into that bargain, it's extremely difficult, if not impossible, to get out of it.
So that's like deal with the devil, right?
Yes. So that's the most important thing, is for the farmers to really become hyper aware of that. The other thing is Monsanto has bought out, well, primarily Monsanto. Some of the other companies are DuPont and Dow that make GMO crops.
And these are all chemical companies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so anyway, there used to be about 300 seed companies, and now there's only 100 because they've bought out the other companies, and they've also, done all kinds of dirty trading practices, you know, like undercutting them price-wise or flooding the market or this or that. So what really needs to happen is these remaining 100 companies really need to be, that have natural seed, need to be supported, mm-hmm. You know, and that's where people are going to need to do some research to find these independent companies to purchase their seed from them.
Right.
And Monsanto has also been found withholding seeds, so, you know, only making the GMO ones available. So it's just, you know, it's a bit of an uphill battle, but, you know, you do a little homework and, you know, you can make the right choices for yourself, you know, for many seasons, not just, buying cheap seed in one season, because, man, once they get locked in, it's all over.
Yeah, going back to, you know, just briefly to Geo Griffin, all this stuff starts with the Federal Reserve when these companies were able to usurp control of our money supply in this country. So they're able to print money out of thin air in order to purchase up all these smaller companies for their huge conglomerates, and then they work in concert by being able to print that money out of thin air and buy up real assets with it, with debt attached to it. This is the big game, and this is the big game that has taken this country down, and now they're just trying to make us so weak and so undernourished that we can't fight back, right?
Right, it's all about consolidation. That's absolutely true. And, you know, toward big corporations. And, so, you know, the way around that is, you know, support these 100 seed companies that are still left, mm-hmm. You know, so that they don't go bankrupt, so that they can stay in business, so that they can, you know, provide people with natural seed. Another interesting idea, too, and it's funny, one of your commercials that was on during the break was talking about using seed as an investment. You know, people have invested in silver and gold, and, you know, the saying, well, you can't eat silver or gold.
Right.
But, you know, given a little time and care, you can eat seeds, you know, as they grow into plants. So I actually think that that's kind of a wise, could be a wise investment, is to have a storehouse.
Some real heirloom seeds, and they store very well.
Right, heirloom and organic. Yeah, it's. I think that's a good idea. Another solution is there's in part four. I've got a YouTube of Shelley Roach.
Oh yeah.
And she's talking about. I think this. The video was made a few months ago, and she said the biggest sector of growing business in the food industry is in the non-GMO category. And in 2009, it increased by 67%. So people are waking up to this. They don't want to put trash in their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this is a good way, you know, vote with your pocketbook.
Right. And yes, it is going to be a little bit more expensive. And you're going to, because we are subsidizing all of these other huge companies that, you know, in these huge farms and with the corn that goes into absolutely everything. So we're paying for it anyway with our taxes. So we're still just going to have to pay a little bit more to get some real food. And then, you know, again, in your article, you mentioned that, you know, they've been trying to push and they're actually behind on their agenda. It was supposed to be, I think, 2010 or 2009 New Year's Eve or whatever, that was their goal to bring about Codex Alimentarius.
Well, I have a few comments about that.
Okay, please.
Yeah, the person that was saying that is not what I would consider an expert. I tend to... in fact, in part four of my article, the two people that I think are not funded by Controlled Op are for health, you know, for GMOs. I like Jeffrey Smith a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And for Codex Alimentarius, I think the only person to listen to is Scott Tipps, because he's the U.S. delegate. So he actually goes to these meetings and participates. And he's funded not by some UN weird agency or NGO. He's got he's a lawyer, and he also receives funding through Whole Foods. So that's who I tend to believe. And the plan with Codex Alimentarius is it wasn't going to happen all in one fell swoop. It's happening incrementally. So by degrees and in little steps, and, you know, like they'll throw in a little clause here into a law, you know, Congress will that they're going to pass, and that's how it's happening. It's not happening like, boom, here it is
right.
One day, and, you know, now you're stuck. It's so that's why we really have to keep our eyes open and, you know, not be led astray.
Right.
Yeah, a great movie that you can watch online is called We Become Silent, and it's just 28 minutes, and it talks about Codex and, you know, some of the players over in Europe that have prevented GMOs and are fighting Codex, and, but I have to say Scott Tipps is the guy for Codex information here in the U.S.
You know, I'm really afraid, to be honest, because of the low-nutrient foods. If they took away the right for me to just go buy a multivitamin in order to supplement, you know, the absolute basic nutrients that we need every day in order to live, I'm really afraid of that.
Yeah. Well, okay, so getting back to solutions, there's one family, there's a video at the end of the fourth article. And these people, they live here in California. That's where I live, in L.A. And, you know, just a couple of miles from the freeway, on one-tenth of an acre, they grow 6,000 pounds of organic food a year.
Wow.
And they don't work. It's a little family. And they work on their garden. But how they make money is they sell their organic vegetables to local high-end restaurants.
Oh, wow.
And so... if you have nutrient-rich foods, then that's, you know, that's most of the battle. So, again, how do you do that? Well, you buy seeds, you start doing your, you know, prepping your own farms, growing what you can. If you can't do that, join a CSA, which is a community-supported agriculture, whereas, you know, someone drives out to a farm, picks up, you know, however many bags of produce and brings it back into the city, and then people go and pick it up from there. And it's a contract with a farm. And that way it supports the farmer so that he's not reliant on all the loans and the whims of the market. Right. So that's another great idea. So I've you know, listed quite a few solutions in the end of the article, the series of the articles.
Well, I tell you what, again, we got it listed up. It's on morphcity.com. I got the links listed to it on freedomsphoenix.com for today's show. When we come back, we'll keep talking about this with Cassandra Anderson of morphcity.com. This is The Revolution Continues with Jet Lacy. And declare your independence with Nurse Hancock. Give us a call, 800-313-9443.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence, Ernest Hancock, and The Revolution Continues. Meet Jet Lacy. We're having a great show today. Cassandra Anderson of MorphCity.com, the author of the four-part article, Food and Depopulation, is here with us on the show. And we were talking about, you know, solutions. Do you have any others? Do you want to? Let's just take this wherever you like to take it. How about that?
One is, unfortunately, it's not legal, is hemp. And in my first article, I went through and I detailed how hemp was outlawed. It was lumped in with marijuana, which is not the same thing, under the banner of cannabis. And the reason being is that Hearst, William Randolph Hearst, who owned all kinds of forests for his pulp paper, you know, you can make paper out of hemp, so that's a threat. DuPont didn't like it because you can replace plastic with hemp. And, of course, the Rockefellers don't like it because you can use it for oil. What's also not, may or may not be known, is it is a super nutritious source of food.
Yep.
And it's really incredible. And I really see hemp as the way, you know, if more people got educated about it instead of, you know, it was hyped in the 1930s about, you know, being something really, really horrible. And, in fact, it's in the 1970s, and literally it's called the Rockefeller drug laws.
Yep.
They came down with these really draconian laws against marijuana because they had to get hemp off the market because it's a natural plant that provides so much that could replace so many of these chemicalized nasty things, so I think that like creating an awareness about what hemp really is and, you know, what it can do, I think that would be a huge, huge thing for America. What's interesting is, we'll see how this turns out, in November on the California ballot, they're looking to legalize marijuana, which means anybody can smoke it anytime they want. And so it would be legal. So taking that a step further, then one would have to say also, okay, well, it's cannabis, so cannabis is legal, and then they might be able to grow hemp. Because both houses of the state legislature, I think in 2006, passed a bill, they passed the bill, but Arnold Schwarzenegger vetoed it to grow hemp.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's one of the biggest globalists on the planet. And, you know, that could have gone a long, long way toward helping California farming.
Yeah.
You know, because it's got so many uses, and it doesn't need pesticide or herbicide.
Right.
I mean, how great is that?
Right. And they still use hemp to make the rope for ships to anchor and things like that because rats won't eat it. I mean, you can use it. That's part of the reason. That is part of this eugenics thing is because it is such a beautiful plant. And, you know, I actually that's the reason I'm not a nurse anymore is for the other version of said plant, which been a fan of for quite some time. But I would love to see it even more than that used for these reasons that you speak of. Where, I mean, you can use it, you can make clothing out of it, you can eat it, you can, you know, do everything with
it. Replacing plastics, think about that.
Well, then they wouldn't be able to leach those estrogens into the system to...
That's my point. Thank you.
You know, yeah. And, you know, with all the BPA and everything, you know,
And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that you cannot get high off of hemp. I think someone said that you'd have to smoke a joint the size of a telephone pole because it doesn't have the level of THC. So it's really... You know, the saying that it's a drug is just not true,
right?
You know, and so it should be interesting to see what happens in California with regard to that and how it'll be interpreted. Although my state is so corrupt, I think I've got a sinking feeling about it.
I can't remember if you had mentioned it in your article, but one thing that I found was very important about hemp as well is that you can overturn the crop every 90 days.
And, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a weed. That's why they call it weed. You know what I mean? It's like it just grows up like crazy. You cut it down and it keeps growing. And so you got this, it's also much more sustainable. You don't have to wait 10 years for like, a poplar forest that you're going to make paper out of. It's at least 7 years.
Right. So, and you don't need all the synthetic fertilizers, which, by the way, are made from petroleum byproducts. So if you don't need their fertilizer and their herbicides and pesticides, and it doesn't, you know, suck up as much water, well, it's obvious why they don't want us to have it.
Yeah. I mean, well, because we'd be healthier. And again, right. That's the whole point of this article. This is just one of the ways that I talk about on this show, you know, all the time about this is a big eugenics job to debulk the population because, for one, they can't control 7.5 billion of us. For two, we're fouling up the air and their earth that these New World Order people believe that they own the earth, lock, stock, and barrel. And so they want to keep 500 million of us in tightly controlled cities and the rest of the world to be their Eden. And I know it sounds fantastic, but it ain't the first time people try to take over the world. When we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and The Revolution Continues with me, Jet Lacy, we got a nice, the last really long, nice 18-minute segment coming up with Cassandra Anderson of MorseCity.com. We'll talk about this. We'd love to hear from you. 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
If you don't like this eugenics job they're trying to pull on you, they got the police backed up and waiting for you. I'll tell you what, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and The Revolution Continues with me, Jet Lacy. We're going back to Cassandra Anderson. We'd love to hear from you, 800-313-9443. This is the last long segment we have with Cassandra, so let's please continue with what we were talking about.
Okay. Well, let's see. Solutions. It's again, you know, it just has to start with education. People have to understand what they're eating. And so, you know, people can, you know, take those links off of your website or mine and send them to everyone they know. And what's really, really crucial here is to get them to policymakers, like your state legislature, so that they understand it, because the states can put bans on GMOs. So can local governments.
I disagree with you on that one, to be honest, and that's just me. I guess I'm a hardcore libertarian. I'm really, really done with the government. I'm just done. I'm in revolution, and I say that on the show every day I'm on. Revolutions begin in the mind, and the war is a side effect that comes from them trying to hold on to their power. I'm in the process of taking control over my own destiny and not relying on the government for anything. So I think that, you know, growing your own foods and having chickens and things like that are a better thing, better to do with your time than trying to lobby some people that very well could be bought off already?
Well, where I'm going to agree with you is with the federal government. Where I'm going to disagree with you is the state government, because the I'm a huge 10th Amendment fan. And like it or not, this the monopoly has come into being. Well, nobody likes it. It's come into being through governmental regulations. So if you can get the states to be aware of that and to make policies that benefit the, you know, and create a true open market, then you're talking. Then you got some power. So, you know, and I tried to give solutions on different levels. So, you know, there's the personal level, which I really went into depth in part four of, you know, how you can grow your own. And then just keep going up the chain. So then the next level you go to is the farmers. Then the next level is local governments, and the next level is state government. I'll agree with you 100% that the federal government is a waste of time, because they got that patent. So they're bought out. They've been bought and sold.
Right. Well, yesterday, another guest that Drew hooked me up with, his name's J.T. Waldron, who, you know, did this film on, you know, election fraud in Pima County, Arizona. And so I just, this corruption, I believe in my heart, goes to all levels of government. And,
well,
and it's a difference of opinion between you and I. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just pointing out a different point of view.
Right. I used to be of that viewpoint, but I work for G. Edward Griffin,
yeah.
And his big thing is, the way to recapture power is to go into the power structures, because really that's, you know, that's where the policies are made. So, and I'm going to give you a positive example here of something great that happened. There's this, in Utah, there's a state legislator named Mike Noel, and he was part of, I don't know if you're aware, but California has a cap and trade system that I think goes into effect 2012.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And there were, I think 8 other states and 4 Canadian provinces that signed on to, and it's totally Agenda 21. You know, it's got all of, you know, and it's.
But Gore just came out and said, you know, now he's been charged with rape. Now we're going through global cooling and we're going to have a mini ice age. So how's that going to work out?
Well, it's never been true, so, you know, it's just one lie on top of the other. But let me tell you about what Mike Noel did. So, you know, he was, oh, and by the way, Arizona is part of the Western Climate Initiative, and that's this little coalition of Western states and 4 Canadian provinces, and it puts us on the track to Agenda 21, starting with cap and trade, right? And California's locked in, sort of. We'll see in November. But anyhow, long story short, what Mike Noel did, he realized, because I've talked to him on the phone, and he didn't know all of this stuff, but he knew who John Holdren was.
Oh, yeah.
And Utah has opted out of the Western Climate Initiative because he saw it as a depopulation effort, and he's a state legislator. So he was able to get their state out of it entirely. And I believe, and I know there was a bill. I'm pretty sure it passed. Now, Arizona has, you know, you guys were next in line for cap and trade within your state because, you know, again, they're battles from global to local.
Right.
So what Arizona did is they said, we're not doing cap and trade. You know, you're still a member of the Western Climate Initiative, WCI,
mm-hmm.
but as far as my understanding is, Arizona's not doing the cap and trade program. They're like, no, we're bankrupt. That's just going to ruin it even further. No, thank you. So, based on the state legislators having knowledge of some of this information, they're doing the right thing, and you know, so you're not getting locked into it. So. I'm a huge, huge fan of going after your local and state government and really pounding the 10th Amendment.
Yeah, you know, and I can't say that, you know, that's not the right thing to do for others. I just was speaking for my own personal, you know, I've looked at this stuff and I've looked, you know, I'm like you, I've only been in doing this a couple of years. So I don't certainly know everything. You know, and I think that's unwise to say the people that say that they do. I just see the writing on the wall for myself, and like, I think it's going to collapse before we make any meaningful change. And we're going to be worried about the meal tomorrow as opposed to trying to change the system that's already in full collapse mode. And that's just my opinion, and I like
well,
your opinion.
You know what? I'm going to agree with you 100% as far as the federal government. You know, they're so crazy.
Yeah.
You know, with all the alphabet agencies, and but you see, it's like they're making policy, and we're still subjected to it. For instance, with Obamacare, even if the states reject it, guess what? You're still paying for it with your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So it does still matter. I'm really can't say that, I can't express enough how much I value the 10th Amendment stuff. It's really important. And because we are subjected to their policies, I agree with you. Take care of yourself first. You know, because if you're not healthy, you know, you're not going to be any good anywhere else. But I really believe that state policymakers and local government policymakers are key, and most of them just don't know the facts.
Right, and I get that, and we do. You know, there's a lot of things going on around. You know, like that SB 1070. It was actually Ernest that. Was the first one that brought it out that he got on the legislator his email list and said this is a backdoor to Real ID.
I know I wrote an article about it because Drew helped me.
And he was, you know, it caused this huge uproar. And actually, we've been going to both sides of the issue out here, rather not even kind of dealing with the 1070, but the people that are for and the people that are against it, letting them know that they're being played against each other in order to bring about this change to put us all on the same reservation or the same plantation.
Yeah, until I spoke with Drew, I didn't understand. You know, it's like I thought 1070 was great. And then, you know, when he explained that it's a consolidation of information to the federal government, and what else is Real ID other than that?
You
know, it's a card with a radio, you know, with a radio frequency thing in it. But it's the consolidation of information to the federal government that, no thank you.
Right. And, you know, it's basically the tag on the ear that you see on every animal in a livestock pen. You know, basically it's that version for a human being that they have to carry that around all the time.
Right.
And in order to get a job. So therefore, that's in a way, I'm not a religious person, but I understand that other people believe this way and that some of the people that write these things believe this way, that it's really sort of the mark of the beast, because if you can't get a job without having this national ID, that prevents you from trading, does it not?
It seems like after thinking about it for a while, the most direct route to solving the illegal alien problem is, you know, you cut off economic benefits, because in California, for instance, we receive the state receives matching federal funds for welfare, so they're not going to cut the welfare system, which is, you know, just crushing us.
Yeah.
And so that's the problem. So if you cut the government benefits to illegal aliens and reform, you know, the benefits for all people, because it's, you know, it's gotten way out of control, and it's not the government's job to take care of you.
Right. And
you know,
this is, right.
And then, you know, go after employers who are hiring illegals. Then you got something, and it's much more simple and direct. But this whole thing has been turned into theater, and it's right left paradigm stuff. And you know, on the right side, you know, they're touting, oh, it's, you know, it's states' rights and all this thing, but they're instituting Real ID. Now on the left side, you know, they're saying, oh, you know, it creates a police state. You know, let's just not do anything, or amnesty, or open borders. So, you know, it's like they've got an agenda, and either way they win.
Right. Yeah. It's like, you know, heads I win, tails you lose.
Exactly. So it's just, you know, people have to understand what the right-left paradigm is.
Right.
And then once they get that, then they can start seeing that in, you know, how we're being played, you know, through all these policies.
Well, hey, we got a caller, Cassandra, and this gentleman knows a little bit about the right-left paradigm. He's a good friend of the show, calls in all the time, David, New Mexico.
Great.
How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Jet and Cassandra. I did read your article today, Cassandra, there on MorphCity.com. And I was just peeling and preparing some vegetables from my own garden while the show was on. And I certainly believe everyone should be planting lots of squash and potatoes and beans, because I think the store shelves may be running short in the near future. We need to remind people that Henry Kissinger was a big advocate for using food as a weapon. And Henry Kissinger, while he's quite elderly now, has been a major player in policy making for the New World Order as an agent of the Rockefeller Combine.
Right,
we
those
need to
three,
remember this
4th
of July, these people want to kill us. They really want to kill us. We need to get that through people's heads, that every Marxist cultural revolution such as we're experiencing in this country right now have resulted in millions of deaths and the torment and slavery of millions more.
Right. Not just that. Those guys funded Mao's China. You know, the Trilateral Commission, and Mao was guilty of killing 50 million people. So they got no problem knocking a bunch of us off.
And they're not setting up the FEMA camps for nothing.
Yeah, it's not the illegal aliens. What do you think about that, Cassandra?
Oh, I think he's absolutely right. And I think, you know, again, the first, as far as solutions go, the first thing you do is take care of yourself. Stock up on seeds, start your garden, get it going. You know, self-reliance, that's the answer. And then, you know, expand up from there.
Absolutely. You got anything else to add, David? That's cool. You got your
Well, you know, I'm an older fellow, and the trouble is a lot of people don't realize until way too late and that the damage has been done, and we have millions of people with diabetes and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, osteoporosis, kidney problems, heart failure, all because of poor diet, all these additives and chemicals, the fluoride, the aspartame, and the sugar, and the high fructose corn syrup, that is just ruining us. And I was a Coca-Cola addict for many years, and I think that's been a major factor in destroying my health.
I tell you what, this is just an aside. Again, I don't really talk about myself, but I went to the doctor yesterday. My wife and I both went. We got a shared appointment because we were both feeling really bloated, even though we exercise and stuff like that, and we both had this general malaise for a few days. And the doctor blew me away when he said, you know, you're not the first person that's come in and said that. And I was like, wow, what is going on? And of course, you're never going to be able to figure out what it is. You just got to try to alleviate the symptoms.
Well, I know since I've started eating healthier and avoiding processed foods and soda pops and things like that, and I'm feeling a whole lot better.
Well, God bless you, David. Thank you so much for calling, as always.
And remember the 4th of July. I want everybody to get out there and remember what's going on and talk about these issues with their neighbors, their friends. People lining up for the parade will have time on their hands. It's a good time to talk to people and pass out flyers and get them thinking about things.
Yeah, I declare,
thank you, David.
Yeah, you bet. I declare my independence every day. This is Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, but today is Declare Your Independence with Jet Lacy. You don't have to declare your independence with me. You need to declare your independence all by yourself, right?
Amen.
Thank you, David. Have a great weekend, brother. Happy 4th of July to you.
You too.
So, what do you think, Cassandra? Do you, I've got some great callers calling to the show, don't I?
Yeah, and thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really enjoying it too. And when we come back, you know, we'll just talk. We've given, you know, a little bit. We'll just have you give a little bit more information, how people can get in contact with you, you know, where we can, you know, get a copy of this other work that you do. And when we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, The Revolution Continues, me, Jet Lacy. We're going to try and wrap this up in one nice, neat package. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
You get your balls to the wall, man. Balls to the wall. You get your balls to the wall, man.
Those are metaphoric balls that Accept is talking about. So all of our balls are to the wall. And, you know, there's one more way is Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and The Revolution Continues, me, Jet Lacy. And, you know, our backs are against the wall, or the other appendages that Accept was talking about. And, you know, we just have to really focus on looking at the things that we can do to make our lives better on a day-by-day basis by doing the best that we can to ignore and not support the New World Order. And that's really, I think, what I got from your article, Cassandra.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and I just so appreciate you having me on. It's been really, really great, because I did work very hard on those articles.
Well, I'm glad that we got the opportunity to talk for a couple of hours about it, because, you know, I really started a couple different times, and I tried a little bit different format earlier in the week, just playing around with it, and we kind of got sidetracked a little bit, and then when Drew said that he knew you and could, you know, speak to you about it, I was like, I got so excited. So I'm the one that's thankful that you came on the show and talked about it, because this is so important.
Yeah, it really is, you know, because people, you know, you go and talk to somebody off the street and they think the UN is good, and they have no idea of what this stuff's about. And, you know, it just goes on in our own government. And, the more that I look into it, you know, the more deeply I see how deep the tentacles go. And so with Agenda 21, Michael Shaw, who's sort of been a mentor to me with Agenda 21, he's up in Santa Cruz, California. Mm-hmm. He's been doing this for a decade. You know, he was talking about, he said, well, you know, the way that he said everybody's got like an issue, and he said that Agenda 21 is the umbrella that covers most of them, and it's like a very, very ugly monster with thousands of tentacles. So if we work toward taking out the head of Agenda 21, you know, killing that part of it, then the tentacles wither.
Right. Well, if you look at the UN itself, and you did a really good job of talking about all the different agencies that are in the UN, you look at the IMF and, you know, the WHO. And
yeah, well, I was just doing the ones that are related to food. I mean, there's so many more, but those are just the ones related to, you know, manipulating markets and, you know, enforcing laws that that promote the monopolies and that sort of thing. Yeah, it's crazy how out of hand it is.
Right, but if you look at just the UN and all the different areas that they have, and then you look at how that relates to Agenda 21, it basically just, they're basically trying to advocate for each one of their little areas to have more and more and more power.
Right. When one thing fails, then they've got another plan. Like you were talking about Al Gore a few minutes ago. And, you know, so now that global warming is on its way out, now they're going to really start hammering on the Endangered Species Act, which is a lockdown on land, and it's a way to devalue it and steal it, at, you know, at a fire sale price.
Well, and to keep us off the land. That's what the National Park Service is for, to keep
right. In
us
fact,
away.
Yeah, that was Teddy Roosevelt that started, eugenicist Teddy Roosevelt that started that. It's really insane.
Well, we got 1 minute, you know, till we close. So give us a little bit more information, how we can get in contact with you, where you can read all your good articles. And thank you again so much for coming on the show with me.
Oh, thank you, Jed. It was just really a pleasure. My website is www.morph, like metamorphosis, M-O-R-P-H, city, C-I-T-Y. .com, and you can email me there. My articles, I've just had the website a few months, so it's still, I haven't finished a few of the categories, because, you know, they're pretty all-encompassing.
It's very nice, though.
Thank you. But working on it, and this summer, this is the summer of solutions, so I'm hard at work right now on the breakdown of banking in America. And
hey,
what can
Cassandra,
we do about
thank
it?
You so much. We got to go, but thank you. Have a great day.